You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Tampa Bay Rays with MLB.com's Rays beat reporter, Bill Chastain. Bill, about 3.5 weeks ago, the Rays were 61-61. They were hot. They'd gotten back to that coveted 500 spot. They were at least on the fringes of the wild card race. Since then, they've gone 8-14. They've basically fallen out of the race. What's happened here over this stretch that is really disappointing, considering how hard they worked to get back into it?
I think it was predictable. I think everybody kind of anticipated it would have been hard to maintain the pace they were on. I think they really just kind of ran out of gas. You know, they had that long stretch in May that really put them behind the eight ball, you know, when they went 1-14. And then they played catch-up ball, and they were playing 700 ball. But, you know, as anybody who follows baseball knows, you just can't keep playing 700 ball. And I think it finally just wore them down.
Do you think that there's some element of it just takes so much to get to that point? I mean, it seems like maybe that's kind of what you're saying, that there's some, to some degree, you have to put so much in that maybe you get a little away from playing every day, like one day, and you start playing almost every day in kind of a playoff mode, and it just kind of wears you out.
Yeah, and also I think psychologically it was kind of like, well, we got to get to 500. And then when they finally got to 500, it's like, you know, that was kind of like reaching a high bar because it was way out of range. I mean, they were 18 below 500 at one point. So here they reach 500, and then and it's kind of like, you know, you try to catch your breath, and the other teams aren't waiting. So I totally agree with you. I just think it's just a lot to ask after you have that kind of stretch.
We had a story on Rays.com this week about Desmond Jennings, that he's not progressing, excuse me, and he might be done for the year. Is that your understanding that we may have seen the last at-bats from Jennings this year?
You know, given the team situation and the fact that he didn't come on this trip, you know, I really don't see a reason why they would want to push him to come back. So, you know, my read on it would be, yeah, I think he's probably done for the year. And, you know, given the fact that they've got all these outfielders and, you know, at the end of the year they're going to have to sort through the bunch and see who they want to keep and what their plans are for next year. I just don't see any reason – and nothing really makes sense for bringing him back.
And that kind of leads me into my next question. Jennings hasn't really progressed. He's basically the same hitter in 2014 at age 27 that he was in 2012 at age 25 first. Is that a surprise or a disappointment that he's not? There was some notion he had star potential, and he's a good player, but he hasn't really gone beyond good player.
No, I totally agree, and he actually seems to kind of regressed a little bit in the speed department as well. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, a lot of times these guys are nursing an injury and we don't find out about it for, you know, the whole year. So who knows? Maybe his knee's been bothering him, you know, more than he's acted or played like all year. But I definitely agree. I think everybody thought that he could step right in where B.J. Upton left. And, of course, B.J. hasn't played well for the Braves, don't get me wrong. But it just hasn't been – it definitely has been unfulfilled potential, I think.
Why, beyond health, it's really about 3 years now that this is kind of the hitter he's been. Why do you think it is that over the longer view he hasn't taken that next step forward, given the obvious talent, given the potential, given how highly regarded he was?
You know what? I say you say beyond health, but really health has been – he's been dinged up every year. I mean, whether it's been his wrist, whether it's been his knee, whether it's been, you know, his shoulder, he's had health issues the whole time. So I really haven't seen him in a stretch where he's been able to play healthy. I think playing healthy is the biggest thing for him, and he just hasn't been able to do it.
So do you think there's a big year, a star caliber year still in this guy?
You know what? I'm beginning to think he is what he is. I harken back to B.J. Upton again, too. It's like, you know, when the Braves signed B.J., you know, they thought that they were, you know, some of the comments you heard was, you know, he's got a high ceiling. I think sometimes you reach that ceiling and it's there. So I think based on the body of work, I would almost be surprised now to see him do more than what he's done thus far. And, you know, I think one thing a lot of people never understand is what a it is from being a triple-A hitter to a major league hitter. And, you know, those numbers just don't necessarily transfer to the major leagues.
He's not expensive yet, and he probably won't be expensive next year, but it's not that long before he starts getting expensive. What do you think Jennings' future with the Rays organization is?
Well, based on performance and based on when they have to start paying him, you know, which I haven't looked, you know, I don't have the figure right in front of me, but, you know, I think right now it doesn't look long term. I think based on the way they roll guys in and out, you know, and if you're something special, they might try to do something, particularly position player. But, you know, I would not be surprised to not see him be a long term guy with the team.
To bounce to another,
which you know, based on what you were saying too, I totally agree with you. He was, you know, he was grade A beef coming out of the minor leagues. You know, they thought this guy was the next great thing for them. And even you know, he's a strong guy, and you thought the power would come on a little bit. Really, the only obvious thing is his arm is not that strong out in center field, but he gets the balls and has good angles. He does a lot of good things. It just hasn't been, you know, the Superman that he was forecast to be.
And that's why you kind of wonder if some other club, it's sometimes like, you know, you got a pitcher with a big arm and every pitching coach thinks they're going to turn him into a superstar. You kind of wonder if a guy with those kind of tools, if some other club says, yeah, we know what can unlock that, and maybe he has significant value to another club who sees that potential and gets excited about what he might be in the future.
Well, you know, truthfully, in the field, he was a really good left fielder. I mean, not that he's a bad center fielder, but I thought he was above average left fielder. But, you know, most people, they, you know, tease about the left fielder being the, you know, the National League's answer to the DH. And in the American League, you know, normally it's a guy with the weakest arm and, you know, pretty big bat. But I wouldn't be surprised when Kiermaier's been playing, if he does, you know, if you see Jennings back out there next year, I wouldn't be surprised to see him out in left.
To bounce to another homegrown guy, or partly homegrown guy, minors guy, Will Myers is getting hits, but he's not hitting for any power at all. The average is coming up, and he's getting hits. Are you encouraged by what you see, or is there still some concern that the power's not there?
You know what? I think based on how he started the year, I think he really wanted to, you know, get to where he was just hitting the ball again. I mean, his stroke was off. His left hand hurt before his right hand. He just had a lot of things going wrong for him. So I'm sure he's in the camp right now where he thinks if, you know, he can hit the ball hard, it's going to start going out of the park sooner or later. And he is a guy who can be streaky, and he can put a lot of home runs up in a hurry. So, you know, if it happens, you know, I think – I wouldn't be surprised. I am a little bit surprised right now that we haven't seen more of it, though.
Have the organization's expectations for him in the medium to long term changed at all, or do they just chalk this up again to a year where a guy's hurt and you just kind of start fresh next year?
I think it's probably mostly injury. I mean, when a guy misses as many games as he did, it's kind of hard to put a critical eye on him. And based on the fact, too, that he actually hurt his left hand, you know, like in the fourth or fifth game of the season and really wasn't right with his left hand, I think it's pretty hard to be too critical of him. Hands are everything when you're hitting.
Oh, absolutely. It's the scariest injury you can have. It's like a shoulder for a pitcher. That's the kind of thing that just terrifies you. From the more positive news, I had a really interesting piece from your associate, David Adler, on Drew Smyly and his assortment. And I thought it was interesting the things they have unlocked in him. We've talked a little about him. I don't know that anybody thinks he's a one, but do you think maybe he's more than a three or four?
You know, based on what he's done so far, it's kind of, you know, you kind of think that. Of course, everybody has, you know, you try not to get too giddy about it because, you know, guys will have stretches. But I do know that they said they worked with him on some stuff about pitch sequences. He wouldn't go into great detail, but he was, you know, when he first got over here, and he was saying it was something that they hadn't seen in him in Detroit. And, you know, you've hardly seen him pitch a bad inning of ball for the Rays. So it's really hard not to be too optimistic about him, I think, going forward.
it could really look like a really good rotation. They might almost have more guys than spaces for next year. Is there any potential for them? I mean, I guess there's always potential for the Rays to get creative, but is there any potential for them looking to once again maybe move a starter to do something for their offense over this winter?
Oh, I think there's that potential definitely out there, particularly when you got, like you say, you got five. You're ending the season with five pretty solid starters, and then you've got Matt Moore coming back probably in June next year. And then you got Colome and Eddie Romero right on the back of that. But, you know, the one thing that, you know, they are always apprehensive of is they don't want to run out of starters because they really can't go to market to buy starters. And it's really, you know, who they've been. Who knows? I mean, you know, it might be somebody might be interested in the Hellickson, or but he might be the only one I would say might be on the open market. But, you know, Andrew Friedman's always been kind of like, you know, every player on my team is for sale if you got the right deal. But they definitely still need some hitting.
All right, Bill Chastain, thanks for chatting here on MLB.com Extras. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.